This podcast is a Folk Media production.
The one thing we've all missed in the many, many months is our urge to step out and have our home services, personal care services in place. But Urban Company, formerly Urban Club, has changed this dynamic around. And their Lear technology works its way through, you know, customer satisfaction, insights, and more. In this episode, we talk to Raghav Chandra, CTO, co-founder Urban Company, about his journey at Urban Company, previously with Twitter, and lots more. You are listening to Mashable India's How They Did It podcast. It's season two of How They Did It, and we go a little beyond just new and disruptive businesses. Of course, we will speak to many of them in the season, but we will also talk to the chiefs of all things cool. Well, that doesn't change. Across the biggest companies, people who've carried forward legacies and generations of businesses, also on how they are sort of treating their profile, their workplace in India and across, and seek lessons and stories from them that can be an inspiration to many as they tell us how they did it. But before we proceed, well, you know, it's the post-pandemic world and we are all remote working, and this was recorded over a video conferencing call. The quality may be a little bit here and there. Please bear with us. I am Priyanka Ganwani. Let's begin. Welcome, Raghav, to How They Did It. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
No, an absolute pleasure. So we know that you've co-founded and you're CTO at Urban Company. And what's your journey really been like? It's also, you know, the T word Twitter sort of popped up in your work experience. And I said that I have to ask you about how your journey was like there, coming to, you know, founding a ride-sharing rickshaw app, if I'm not mistaken, and to what is Urban Company today. So could you take us through this ride?
Absolutely. I think you know, it's definitely been fascinating and perhaps a little unique. I think my earlier life, right after Berkeley, going to the Valley, bits of Twitter, I think it was me mostly really, really appreciating and learning science and engineering as a discipline. And I think that's really what I, at my core, if you asked me, that's really who I am, a tinkerer, wanting to optimize things within constraints, particularly what defined that ethos and just being in the Valley, you know, where engineering such a root alpha discipline just made me kind of groom in that way. But then post that, I think through Twitter and then coming back, it's been, you know, a set of different experiences. So in Twitter, I learned a lot about engineering things. And I think I was in the Valley at a time where Twitter, this was pre-IPO phase, growing up fairly rapidly, team scaling from 500 to 2,000 in a short span of 2 years, right? And this creates a lot of flux in an engineering company. And that really teaches rebuilding and building Lego blocks is, and all that engineering is about. And I think past that, my journey back to India is where things got really interesting. I think I was very young when I shifted back. I shifted back when I was 23. Right. And I got clarity on what I want to do fairly early. And perhaps that's the naivety of being young as well, where I just, you know, wanted to pursue value creation. I wanted to work on, I like to joke about it, the older era of good opportunities were roti kapda makan. And for us in our generation has become employment, education, healthcare. And I basically just wanted to work in these sectors. I came back, employment was very close to my heart and tech is what I loved doing. And Buggy was my rapid crash course in MBA or consulting, where I realized what to and what not to do in building a business. And I think from there on, Urban Company has been a very structured build out along with my two other co-founders. You know, we started in 2014. We've scaled up pretty rapidly.
So, you know, when you've had from what it was like day one with Urban Club then and now Company, you've also added a good 6,000 more service providers in the last 2 months, considering the whole COVID situation. So what is the kind of, you know, the data insights that you've seen in terms of trends that you've seen that, okay, this is quite a bit of a spike in a service, or this is something that we never noticed before? And also the kind of tech that you use, be it, you know, AI, ML, and any data related technology. So what's been your observation there?
Yeah, no, let me break that into two parts. I think one is Just the last 6 months and the tech. And the second is, you know, now that we're merging out, what have been the trends and how the business has grown. I think last 6 months probably for every company has been extremely unique and insightful. For us, we hit ground zero for about a month plus. And since then, we have now actually more than recovered. So we are on a fast growth track post. But I think in the last 6 months, the one big thing which has emerged out is just it basically was a catalyst, a forcing function for us to just absorb completely into tech. Right. So now, you know, while we've always been a tech company, this just meant we could not do certain things which we could earlier. Right. Like, for example, you mentioned 6,000 partners onboarded. Typically, it would have required us to, train, and we have training centers in every city. Right. They go through training programs and then they go live. All of that basically shifted to digital. You know, lockdowns was a complex math where in India you saw kind of different, very, very micro clusters where we were allowed to operate. And in a notice of a day, you kind of had to close them down and open it up again. That kind of hyperdrive was enabled through us for us through tech. So in fact, hyperlocation is something we use quite often as well. It really helps us gather information and sell as well. So we can go as low as, you know, maybe to your society or your apartment level, where we can either turn on and off, which was in lockdown, or actually tell you information on how many people have been using services around your building and what kind of services for right. it personal for you. So I think that's been the build out of tech, both on the supply side, where just going purely digital on onboarding. It's been on the delivery side where all our safety measures and stuff required heavy, heavy techification. So ensuring people have masks, ensuring the partner, like we do facial recognition on making sure people are wearing gloves, masks, and making sure it's the same person. We also do temperature scans daily. So delivery experience kind of shaped through as well as a retail or growth experience. Right? I think that's broadly how tech has accelerated through. And now that we're coming out, Priyanka, I think it's very fascinating to see. I think some categories have suddenly picked up really well. So overall business is fairly healthy now. But right. some interesting trends have been, for example, men's grooming is a category which is booming pretty much, you know. Right. People generally, we've realized, don't still want to go to public spaces. Mm. However, people do want services, like house repair cannot stop. Similarly, people would want haircuts, you know, after waiting for some time. And we've seen that our services in general were, though pushed out by a few months because of heavy lockdown and everyone being very careful. Now, because we're able to give high assurance on safety, quality, people are actually going out, preferring, in fact, at-home services versus stepping into public spaces. So those broadly have been the emerging trends that we've seen industry come back. Offline is probably a little slower because people avoid public spaces. But what's that meant for me is that's meant that now that we've been able to do a good job at standardizing quality, there's a lot more latent demand coming from the consumers. And it kind of varies across different categories. So some categories are seeing a lot more uptake than some others. But broadly, by and large, everything is actually fairly well recovered and on the rise for us.
Right. So one of the features, like one pointer you mentioned that I guess I also had it listed out was, you know, the homepage when you're browsing through, I think one of the first few things that pops up is the number of bookings since the lockdown that have taken place in your location. So what was the thought behind that in terms of course, to either, you know, give a confirmation that yes, it's safe to book as many, you know, appointments and it's fine in your location. So what was the kind of thought that sort of took you to integrating this?
So I think it's one of those many advantages of being a fairly heavy tech play. It just allows you to be extremely relevant and personalized to a consumer. So let me actually, you know, simplified, if I had to kind of explain it to my grandpa, right, and not use jargons. I think, you know, typically retail experience is all about making, you know, a customer coming in who's a prospective buyer, right? Retail experience is all about making the customer feel fairly relevant, like your service is being very relevant to his problems and it being a very delightful experience, right? Now, the trouble is, you know, typical retail experience in an older generation would be basically standard for all of us. Right, we enter a shop or a salon and you know, it's the same experience you get. What tech allows us to do, for example, in this case, is we have so much of data that we can start making intelligent guesses about you, right? So for example, what is your browsing history, what is your purchase history like based on your location, are there services which are more used or less used, and we're able to surface them in a very personalized manner as well. Right, so every person's app would probably tell a different story, very specific to what we feel is what you want. And I think that generally makes it a lot more relevant and delightful to a consumer. And I think that was the thought process, you know, surfacing some of these personalized, data-backed recommendations. These are basically nudges to help the consumer get a little more confidence.
Right. And I think one of the pointers, one important thing that was also sort of touched upon on this blog by, you know, the techies at Urban Company, and this whole thing about a downtime in payment, right? I think that with so many, many service providers and so many, many people using these services at a particular time, even sort of every minute, now some sort of a downtime is likely to happen. So just for our listeners, what causes the downtime and what happens at the back end when you're notified of a downtime?
There's we've published a few interesting write-ups on actually different processes. Right. And one of them was, for example, finances. And, you know, it's actually, as a consumer, we take so many things for granted, you know. We are used to perfect experiences, and what we see end of the day, like if you take payment, for example, in any of the consumer tech companies, what you see at the end of the day, just a payment mode, right? Like, okay, I want to do a wallet transfer or I want to do UPI. But the problem is the backend is actually super complex, and it has multiple stakeholders. And you know, maybe just to throw in a little bit of complexity without overwhelming, it requires, you know, someone choosing the payment mode, right, on the interface. Then that payment mode translates to a larger aggregator for like a payment gateway provider. And there are multiple companies who do that. Then after that, it translates to the specific mode, right? That channel of communication which needs to be up and running. And there are a few more layers, and ultimately translates to the final banks through which the transfers are happening in and out, right? Any of these systems, for various reasons, could experience a little bit of a failure or slowness, right? It could be tech systems in any of these in the stack going down, or it could be like maybe internet, or data connectivity, which is spotty, or line has been truncated, because there's a lot of hardware required as well. The internet technology, which we assume actually runs on a lot of real hardware wired stuff. So this massive stack of anything which could fail, and anything one failing, it basically will amount, it might not be 100% failure, it could be 1% of failure, but that's still a lot, right? I think therein we have processes and we develop tech to do and basically have automatic recovery. Right. So whenever we detect failure in any of these levels, right, first it requires us to track it. Right. So we have tracking mechanisms which are as frequent as, you know, every minute delay to 5 minutes delay, we can figure out how the systems are doing at any of these levels. And then we have mechanism to switch. So when we see something not working, we tell the consumers, hey, ABCD is down, or you might experience pain. Why don't you shift to something else? And then we have an auto recovery. So, you know, a switch has happened, but what happens when the original better thing was available again, right? So it requires us to switch back. So you'll actually see this, Priyanka, as a typical trend for most complex infrastructures where detection and shifting are basically yin-yang, which operate for pretty much any tech system after some point. Various levels, some of it consumers are exposed, some of them consumers don't and should not care. We just make the decision on our own side.
One critical part is also the insurance coverage and, you know, the integration or partnership that you've looked at, where is Skill India. So how has that turned out for Urban Company?
So I think this is one of the closest, you know, touches one of the closest topics to my heart. So I think, so we are ultimately a system which enables the consumers and the partners to avail each other, right? So consumers to avail partner services. Now, something like, you know, insurance programs, and I think we have insurance programs, we've already on the consumer side, but also on the partner side, we have a lot of health stuff. Skill India, for example, does benefit on both ecosystems. And maybe I'll take the example of Skill India. We worked very hard to build our quality mechanics, right? With actual hardcore training and actually delivering stuff with very, very high precision. It perhaps positions us to kind of build a fairly large scale upskilling institute in the country. So with our partnership, we are able to basically give customers more confidence. See, I know that we are young, right? Like we're only 6 years into the market. So it helps us give the customers more confidence in delivering, and, you know, us being a little more backed or at least acknowledged by the government. But what it also does, one of the hidden benefits, is on the partner ecosystem. It right. massively empowers these professionals, right? So I think there's a little right. bit of history of how our culture also evolved, right? We've always had, you know, the person who's paying money as a master and then the service professional almost as a lower professional. Now, this right. is a weird construct, right? And we're able to actually shape some of these. So, you know, our partners feel very proud when they have Skill India certificates and those little logos on their uniforms because they're actually able to go and represent themselves as full professionals when they go to a consumer's house okay. and command that kind of social respect and professional respect. And I think, you know, we've seen great, great adoption there. So I think it's a lot more celebrated on the partner ecosystem in very soft measures of being feeling more empowered.
Right. So what is the way forward, keeping all these new features, keeping not just your service providers, but also the consumers in mind? What is it that we can look forward to from Urban Company in the months to come?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think we are still very young, Priyanka, in a journey. It's always day one for us, right? So we are very ambitious as a team. We have a lot more ground and value to create. So I think over the next 3 years, we hope to 10x ourselves and our ability to scale well, right? And actually improve the kind of offerings and what we bring to the table. I think what internally, what that means for us is there is, you know, just a super heavy investment in tech. So, you know, deeper, better tech builds. In fact, we are going out, expanding offices. Traditionally had a tech in NCR, kind of investing that, opening a Bangalore center as well. Right. So that's, I think, a lot of the internal stuff.
Right.
But what it means in terms of how the company does or what's to come, I think there's going to be just, you know, deeper builds in the categories we have. So for example, in salon, we are launching hair. Or in salon, we're going deeper and saying, hey, actually, there's not one type of salon. There's actually three kinds of salon users, classic, prime, luxury, right? And kind of really, really start to fine-tune the offerings based on those three kinds of consumers, right? So I think you're going to be seeing a lot more of this depth in a lot more categories coming in. And I think we're still far away from absolute excellence. And I think absolute excellence is not a milestone, it's just a moving target.
Right.
Right? So you're going to see that. I think you're going to see a little bit of expansion as well into
right.
other cities in India, perhaps in international markets as well. We are present in three countries. You're going to be opening Saudi Arabia soon. You know, I think in the course of the few years, there'll be a little bit of expansion there as well. So yeah, I think these are a couple of things coming up and we hope we're able to be super aggressive and super focused on scaling and scaling, not in terms of just sheer numbers,
right.
but in terms of actual value and actual experience of the delivery and standardization which comes into play.
Right. That's great to understand and sort of foresee your journey. One thing that I'd want to touch upon before we wrap up, and something that I've in the course of me talking to a bunch of interesting co-founders and CEOs, is also the effort that's been made to tackle mental health for employees and sort of fit it into, you know, the usual ongoings, considering that this has sort of become a way of life, at least for now. How has that sort of been a part of Urban Company's work culture?
Yeah, I'm so happy you brought this up. I think last 9 months have made this a very real conversation for pretty much every company out there. And we've done a bunch of things. I think, you know, I think one is to kind of realize and to make it real, it's to realize where the symptoms lie in. I think through these times of COVID, all companies, like maybe I'll talk about ourselves, we've seen, you know, us being super excited and activated about, okay, it's COVID times and there's so much which needs to be done, to very quickly there's being a lot of burnout, right? And it's very hard to figure when burnout happens, but people are just tired and there's just lower social engagement happening and a lot of hard work, but productivity kind of starts to take slump, right? And I think these are all areas where basically we are not being able to create a healthy work mental environment, right? Where people are just generally happy. Now, we've done a bunch of things through these times. I think some are fixing root causes, some are more reactive. So for example, we have unlimited sick leaves now. We really want to promote people not fearing and saving up on those sick leaves for the time when they will be really sick. You know, that's a trend we've seen. We've all come into office coughing. Why? Because, hey, it's fine. It's not the biggest illness. We actually don't want that anymore. Right? So we are encouraging people to be mindful of their health, take it when needed without the pressure. We have, for example, health apps and consultants when it comes to mental health. But right. Some more interesting things you've done to actually fix the root cause is internally we have something called as predictable time off, where we push everyone to take a day off or have a longer weekend once a month. And here's a very interesting thing. And if you were to ask this, you know, a year ago, you'd probably have had an opposite answer. You know, we have the construct of weekends, but in COVID or through this times of pandemic, no one actually realizes what a weekend is, right? Everyone's just weekdays, weekends just sound the same. You could work on a weekend, weekend, most likely just working. And on what it is super important for people to take that break. So we actually try to push people to take a longer weekend off, actively push down from top to bottom that, hey, it's okay. In fact, it's encouraging. And to a point, we actually had to force sometimes in the org to have a longer weekend. On a weekly basis, we've done some changes to kind of have a better, healthier balance. So on Wednesdays, we have something called as a no meeting Wednesday, where we actually don't schedule meetings. One of the biggest time sinks is, you know, everyone being busy meetings and then having little time of actual work. And that work kind of translates into late nights and weekends. And that's a root cause, right? So I think some of these things we've been able to pull off to fundamentally structure better well-being for employees. And some of them are actually going to the heart of it and just making things happier. And some are probably more reactive and you know, helping people to come out when they kind of go through struggle times.
Right. Thank you so much, Raghav, for letting us into the world of Open Company and taking us through these, you know, what is the idea behind these features and tech, and also how you've been dealing with or taking care of your employees. Thank you so much for your time. So catch the show every Thursday. Don't forget to review us. Tell us if you like the show or want anything to be changed. And we're open to feedback. You can do so on Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, or any podcasting app of your choice. Catch us all over social media. We are Mashable.India on Instagram and on LinkedIn and Facebook as well. We are Mashable India. And for more, log on to in.mashable.com. Stay tuned.